Amen. It's a joy to be at Fellowship Baptist Church. I love and appreciate Pastor Ennis, and you have a wonderful pastor. You really do. Amen. And I appreciate his just being around him. It's a joy to be around Pastor Ennis. You know, it's a joy to be around some folks. They love the Lord and have a heart for God, and that's always a real blessing. Now, I haven't been around some folks, and I call them porcupine-type Christians, and they're the kind of folks that have many fine points, but you can't get close to them. But Pastor Ennis is not that way, and just a real blessing. Let me just say, I count it a great honor. I count it a privilege to be behind this pulpit tonight preaching. I do not take that lightly, and I appreciate it, Pastor Ennis. Thank you so much, brother, for allowing me to preach here tonight. And I certainly do count that an honor. I really do. Don't take it lightly. And I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be an encouragement to you. And I trust the message tonight will certainly do that to you in your heart. And we'll leave tonight rejoicing in the good things of the Lord. I trust we'll leave tonight with a sparkle in our eye, a spring in our step, and a smile on our face. And we'll leave just rejoicing in what God is doing. And we praise His name for it. I appreciate the good singing. I enjoy that. Really, really did. It's a blessing to my heart. And I like good singing. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, good singing is queen and preaching is king. And I believe that. And you have some wonderful singing here. I appreciate the choir singing, special singing, congregational singing. It's just been a real blessing to my heart. I really, really have enjoyed it. Now, I'm typically not a long-winded preacher. I usually just preach fast, and I'm done fast, and we're going fast. I like what one preacher said one time. He said, blessed is a preacher whose train of thought has a caboose. Well, mine does. And I'm typically, as I said, not a long-winded preacher. Someone also said, blessed is a preacher who can get airborne without much runway. And so we'll try to do that tonight and give you something from God's precious word. I trust to be a blessing to you. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Mark, Mark chapter number 5. And we want to begin reading at verse 21 and read several verses in this chapter. And then we'll have a word of prayer. Then we'll preach the message I feel that God has us to preach for this service. And again, I do trust it to be a real blessing to your heart. It'll be an encouragement to you, and I certainly want to be an encouragement. And I trust this message tonight will do that to all of our hearts. And we can leave rejoicing in the good things of God. It's wonderful to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of the King, and we thank God for His saving grace. And I'm so glad that one day God reached down and save this old boy, and I'm so glad tonight I'm a child of the King, and that's a great joy, that's a great thrill, and we praise His name for it. Well, Mark chapter number 5, verse 21, we'll begin reading there. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with them, and much people followed him and thronged him. Would you drop down to verse 35, if you would, please? It says, and while he yet spake, there come one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wept greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in there where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. We'll stop our reading right there. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message tonight. Our Father, what we count it a privilege to be at Fellowship Baptist Church, and Father, what an honor it is to be able to stand behind this pulpit. Father, thank you for Pastor Ennis, and Father, thank you for this good ministry, and Father, how you've blessed it in a marvelous way. Father, we pray you continue to use it, your hand to continue to be upon it. Father, souls will continue to be saved, and God, you'll add to the work and bless it in a good way. Father, we need your help tonight. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus upon the devil. And Father, we're asking that the power of God would be manifested in this message, and God, may you be glorified. And Father, I pray that as we leave, we'll leave rejoicing, realizing that we serve a mighty God. We serve a wonderful God. And so, Father, have your way. And Father, empower me by the Spirit of the living God. And we'll thank you for what you do. We ask it in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. We find here in verse number 21 that the Lord Jesus Christ has come over the sea. And as he comes over the sea there, a throng of people gather around him. There was a man that fell at his feet, and that man's name was Jairus. And notice, if you would, in verse 22, what happens there. It says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him," notice what he does, "he fell at his feet." Now, in verse number 23, Jairus, he begins to beseech God, beseech the Lord Jesus Christ greatly. Now, notice, if you would, what he says. He says, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." Now notice Jesus' response in verse number 24. And Jesus went with him. Isn't that just like the Lord Jesus Christ? He's always ready to help. He's always ready to do great things. And I tell you, we serve a wonderful God tonight. We serve a wonderful Lord that is willing and ready and able to help us regardless of the circumstances we face. Notice what it says here in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him." Now verse number 35, it says, "And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." No doubt when Jairus heard that his daughter was dead, no doubt it put fear in his heart. He was afraid and no doubt disappointed. And the Lord Jesus says that to him in verse 36. He says, listen, he says, "Be not afraid, only believe." Look at verse number 37. "And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother James." And just follow me if you would tonight, because I'm going somewhere with the message. Verse number 38. It says, "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Hey, listen, look at verse number 40. "And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment." I want to use this portion of scripture and in chapter number 5 as well. And I want to preach a message tonight entitled simply this: It is not over until God says it's over. Let me say that again. It is not over until God says it's over. I want to say tonight, it's not over until God does say that it's over. I want to say tonight that God is going to have the last say so. And aren't you glad to know that it's not over until God says that it's over? Let me give you several points tonight as we think about that thought. Number one, it is not over until God says it's over when it comes to the matter of people being saved. Now that's a glorious thought. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to people being saved. Look at verse number 1, chapter number 5, look at verse number 1. We've called this man the maniac of Gadara. Notice what we find, and I'm preaching fast. I want to get done fast. I don't want to tarry too long, so just bear with me if you would. Chapter number 5, verse 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters were broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." Now here's a man, he's a wild man.
He's living among dead things. He could not be tamed. They put the chains on him. He brushed the chains asunder. He was a man that was possessed with a legion. This man was demon possessed. I guarantee if you'd ask anyone in that community at that day that knew this man, do you think there's any hope for that fella? Do you think that fella will ever be saved? Do you think that guy will ever change? You probably heard people say, no way. I don't believe that guy's ever going to change. I believe it's almost an impossibility for this fella ever to change his life. But thank God I got some good news for you. Jesus came, and when Jesus came, things changed. I'm simply saying to you tonight that it's not over until Jesus says it's over when it comes to people getting saved. I tell you, you know what happened? That man had the legion cast out of him, and the Bible says he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And that's exactly what happens when a person gets saved. They want to sit at the feet of Jesus. They want to learn. They want to listen to the Word of God. They put their clothes on. They don't take their clothes off. Amen. I'm just simply saying, it's not over until God says it's over. You say, preacher, what's the application to us tonight? Here it is. No doubt some of you got people in your family, they're not saved. You might wonder, man, are they ever going to get saved? Are they ever going to turn to God? Is their life ever going to change? Hey, listen, I got some good news for you. It's not over until God says that it is over. Hey, this man right here, this man has social and spiritual problems. This man was suicidal. This man right here in chapter number 5, this man has some mental and psychological problems. But one day Jesus said, hey, legions be gone, cast them in those swine. I'm simply saying that it is not over until God says it's over. I tell you, that's a blessing to me tonight. That thrills me tonight. I've got people in my family, they're not saved, and oh my, I'm praying, dear God, work in their heart. Some of them are wicked, vile, ungodly, and I'm saying, dear God, work in their heart. God, save them by your grace. God, we know you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm praying, God, would you save them by your marvelous grace? I'm simply saying to you, church, tonight, that it's not over until God says it's over. I've been praying for my dad for a number of years. I've been saved for 30 years, and for some of you, man, that's not even a drop in the bucket. But I've been saved for 30 years. I got saved in 1987. I was a teenager. I was a rebel from the word go, just wicked. And I don't need to go into any details. Just suffice it to say, I was a sinner that needed to be saved. And God saved me. And when God saved me, I began to have a burden for my mom and dad. And I began to pray, dear God, work in my dad's heart. Dear God, save my dad. Oh, God, save him by your marvelous grace. Hey, listen, I got some good news for you tonight. He's been coming to the church now for the last several weeks. I'm telling you something, he's an unsaved man. Listen, he's coming Sunday morning, he's coming Sunday night, and he's coming Wednesday night. An unsaved man. Hey, what am I saying tonight? I'm saying this, it's not over until God says it's over. Number one, first of all, it's not over until God says it's over when it comes to people getting saved. Number two, let me show you a second one. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to God supplying your needs. Isn't that a blessing? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look in chapter number 5. You're there. Look at verse number 25. Here's this woman with the issue of blood, and I hope this message will encourage you. I really do. Look at verse 25. It says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and has suffered many things of many physicians and has spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. Look at that. She has spent all that she had and was nothing better. Do you know what happened? This woman, she went to the physicians. She's trying to get healed. She's trying to get better. And the Bible says she was none the better, but rather she grew worse. But you know what she heard? She heard that Jesus was coming. And she said, oh my. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment, I know everything will be all right. Hey, can I say something tonight? I just want to make an application right here. I'm telling you one thing. I'll tell you what we need to do in a lot of churches today. We need to stop just bumping him and start touching him. Amen. I tell you what this woman is. She said, I want to touch him. I want to touch the hem of his garment. And if I touch the hem of his garment, then I know everything's going to be all right. Hey, this woman had a need and God met that need. I'm saying to you tonight, church, that God is big enough to take care of you and me. That's right. He's big enough to take care of you and me. Whatever your need is tonight, He's big enough to supply it. Whatever problem you have tonight in your heart and life, our God is able to supply that need in your life. It's not over until God says that it's over. Paul put it this way in Philippians 4:19. He said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Oh, that's a glorious promise to know that God will supply your needs. And by the way, you must take that in its context. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean you must take that in its context?" In Philippians chapter number 4, he's talking to giving Christians. You okay with that, church? He's talking to people that are giving. He said to the people that were giving. He was talking to the people that were not selfish, but they were giving. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need." You know what those people in Philippi did? They had sent money to Paul. They helped Paul monetarily. They were helping Paul in a very great way. And God said, "I'll tell you what, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Hey, you know what? Let me say this tonight. You might have a need. It could be a financial need. Whatever that need is, I got some good news for you. It's not over until God says it's over. I remember when I first started in evangelism, I traveled in evangelism for about 22 years. And I remember when we first got started, we had a little Toyota Tercel. You might remember those little Toyota Tercels? I mean, you don't get in them, you put them on. Just a little old thing, two-door. Had a little trunk, you know, about that wide. And we used to fill that thing slam full. I mean, we did take everything but the kitchen sink. Sometimes I thought we took the kitchen sink. But we had that thing full. I mean, it was full, full, full. But I remember we were in a meeting and there in Aiden, North Carolina, and many of you know where Aiden is, close out toward the Greenville area. And we were in a meeting. I was using that little Toyota Tercel. After the revival meeting's over with, we hung around, talked with the pastor, and it was getting late, about 11:30. And I said, "Well, pastor, I appreciate everything." And I said, "Brother, I'm going to head on out." And we headed on out, and we went on down the road, and the gas light was on my Toyota Tercel. And you say, "Well, man, good night. Those cars could go forever with a gas light on." Well, I probably could, but anyway, that gas light was on, and I made it to Greenville, and I said, "Man, I tell you, we're going to give slam out of gas if we don't get some gas in this thing." And I'll be honest with you, I only had about $2 with me in my pockets, all I had. And that's been many, many years ago. We first got started in evangelism, and I remember I pulled into a gas station, and I went up to the door of the gas station, and they were locked. They were already closed down. So I said, "Well, I'm going to go to the next gas station." Went to the next gas station, and I was going to try to go through the door there, and they were locked. And I said, "My lands, these gas stations are closed, and I need some gas. I know I'm not going to make it back to Wilson. No more gas than I got in that Toyota." And so I went to the next gas station. I said, "Man, I'm not even going to look at the door. I'm not even going to try the door. I'm just going to start pumping gas." And boy, that's exactly what I did. I put it to that gas pump there, and I started pumping the gas. And as I was pumping the gas, I heard somebody say, "Hey, Brother Mike." Man, and I turned and looked, and it was the pastor of that church where we were having a revival meeting. You know what he said to me, Pastor Ennis? He said, "Fill her up." Boy, I feel that thing. I'm telling you right now, hey, here's what I'm saying tonight, church. It's not over until God says it's over. Amen. I hope that encourages you tonight. Let me give you another one, number three. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to people getting saved. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to God supplying your need. And if you've got a need, God's able to meet that need. Let me give you a third one. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to needing a second chance in life. Then that's a real blessing. I'm telling you one thing, we've all failed, haven't we? I mean, you think about that. You think about we have failed. There's been times we've been unfaithful. There's been times we've let God down. There's been times when we disobeyed God. But I'm glad He's the God of the second chance. And you understand what I mean when I say second chance. I'm glad He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of the third chance. He's the God of the fourth chance. I tell you what, a God we serve. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. We can come to God when we have failed Him, when we have disobeyed Him. We can come to God and say, "God, forgive me." 1 John 1:9, "God, I'm sorry. God, I agree with you about my sinfulness. It's wrong. But oh God, would you forgive me?" And God God forgives us of our sin. He's the God of the second chance. I'm glad He's the God of the second chance. That's a real blessing to me tonight. Hey, God, listen, God is in the business of putting shattered lives back together again. You think about that. You think about God. He puts lives back together again. And God is a God of the second chance. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying this, that it is not over until God says it's over. He's a God of the second chance. I think about David. You know the account of David, and oh my, how that breaks our heart. How we think about David. I mean, a man after God's own heart. Oh, a man that walked with God. One day, here he is. He's on the rooftop. He looks down, and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath. You know the account. Maya's heartbreaking. I mean, it's heart-wrenching. Here's David. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. And oh, I'm telling you, it just really just hurt his family, ruined his family. But thank God for Psalm 51. You read Psalm 51 and you see David there. He's repenting. And I like what old Sam Jones says about Psalm 51. He said David was a great sinner, but thank God he was a great repenter. And I call Psalm 51, I call it the second chance chapter. Here's a man, he's disobeyed God. I mean, listen, here's a man that has hurt his home, but yet God is a God of the second chance. I'm saying tonight that it's not over, church, until God says it's over. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful blessing? I think about the man John Mark. John Mark traveled with Paul and Barnabas on their missions trip. You know what happened? He left them. Now, I don't know why he left them. There's been a lot of speculation as to why John Mark left them. Some people suggest that the reason that John Mark left was because he was a coward. Some people said he was lazy. Some people said he was a mama's boy. I don't know why he left them, but he left them on their missionary journey. And you know what happened? Hey, it came to the point in Acts chapter number 15. Barnabas and Saul and Paul there. Saul and Barnabas said, I think we can take John Mark with us. And Paul said, I don't think that's a good idea. And Barnabas said, oh yes, he said, I want to take him with me. And you know what happened? There was a disagreement and they parted ways and so forth. And Barnabas took John Mark with him. Do you know what I believe? I believe that Barnabas, he took John Mark under his wings. You know why I believe he did that? Here's why. Because I believe Barnabas was the type of man, he saw potential in folks. And he took him under his wing, and he began to teach John Mark, and he began to help John Mark. Do you know, listen, what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he said this to Timothy. He said, Timothy, he said, when you come, bring Mark with you. He is profitable to me for the ministry. Hey, you know what that is? That's second chance. That second chance is in our church. I'm saying tonight, it's a wonderful blessing to know that it's not over until God says it's over when it comes to the matter of needing a second chance. Let me give you number 4. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to sickness in your body. Amen? I mean, really, you know, people get bad reports every day from the doctor. Well, sir, you have cancer. You've got about 3 months to live. That's a tough report. Or the doctor say, you know what, you've got a brain tumor. And you got about 6 months to live. I tell you, that's a rough report to get, no doubt. They say, sir, you've got some heart issues, and if you don't get some help, these heart issues are going to take you out of here. I'm telling you, there's some bad reports that people get from the doctor. But you know what? The doctors don't know everything. They don't know everything. Amen. We serve a God in heaven, don't we? That's able to do great things. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look here in chapter number 5. Notice here in verse 35 and 36 where we get this from. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. Here's a man, when he heard that report, it must have struck fear in his heart, in his life. And the Lord Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. Hey, let me say this tonight, that it is not over until God says it's over when it comes to the matter of sickness in our body. Ain't that a blessing? Now, let me just say this. We don't need to worry about dying because we all are. I mean, that day is going to come one of these days. We are going to go dying, death, we're dying every day. And if the Lord tarries his coming, of course, I believe he can come back any moment. And it wouldn't bother me if he came back tonight. Be a real blessing. I'd be honest with you. I'd much rather go by the rapture than I had by the way of the grave. It's cheaper. Yeah, it costs a lot of money to die anymore. Someone said if you die, you'll go in the hole. And buddy, that's the truth. You really will. Here's what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying tonight that it's not over. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to the matter of sickness in your body. Isn't that a blessing? We've got a couple, a precious couple in the church there at Trinity where our pastor and their daughter-in-law, she found out a couple of years ago that she had cancer, and the doctor told her, said, listen, you got 6 months to live. Said your body's eat up with cancer. Said you got 6 months to live. So she started getting her house in order and so forth, this young lady did, and she called some preachers over there to pray over and so forth, and we did that, but the doctor said, listen, you got 6 months to live. And you don't need to expect to live any longer than 6 months. And you know what, folks? It's been 2 years now. She's still living. Amen. She's still living. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. It's not over until God says it's over. The doctor might give you a bad report tomorrow. You could go to the doctor tomorrow and might get a bad report. The doctor might say, hey, you got cancer, and you got about 3 months to live. But you know what the truth of the matter is? The doctor doesn't know everything, and it's not over until God says it's over. You know when you're going to die? When God's ready for you. Amen. That's when we're going to impart this life, when God is done with us. Hey, I'm just simply saying, it is not over until God says it's over. Let me give you number five, and we're finishing. Number five. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to situations in our life that are out of our control. It's not over until God says it's over when it comes to situations in our life that seem to be out of control. Let me show you one more. Look in chapter number 5, if you would. Notice, if you would, in verse 25, they said, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Hey, here's a woman. This situation she was facing was out of her control. Jairus, his daughter, lying at the point of death. And then they come and tell him, say, your daughter is dead. I'm talking about situations out of his control. He had no control over that situation. And here's what I'm simply saying tonight. I'm saying this, that it's not over until God says it's over. When you're faced and I'm faced with situations in our life that seem like they're out of our control. Amen? It's not over until God says it's over. Now, let me say this, that God allows certain things to come into our life. And thank God, we know that God allows that. We know that God's presence is with us. We know that God's promises are still true. And God allows things to come into our life that we might trust Him and look to Him and depend on Him and lean upon Him. But I'm just simply saying tonight that it is not over until God says it's over. I tell you, that's a great blessing, is it not? I think about two Bible illustrations in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter number 3. Here these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know what happened? They stood up when they heard the sound of the music, they stood up. They did not bow to that golden image. They stood up. And when they stood up, they had to stand the heat, because that's exactly what happened. They were thrown into that burning fire furnace. In other words, there were situations in their life that was out of their control. But aren't you glad, thank God, that when Nebuchadnezzar looked in the furnace of fire, he saw four men loose. Loose. And the fourth was like another son of God. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar looked at him and he was astonished at what he saw. Those fellas had faced a situation that was out of their control, but I'll tell you what they did. In the face of that situation, they did right. In the face of that situation, and God blessed them for it. Oh, I think about Daniel chapter number 6, when those presidents, and they were trying to find occasion against Daniel, and you know the account there. And Daniel chapter number 6, the men there, they told King Darius, they said, if anybody asks a petition of God or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, and be cast into the den of lions for 30 days. Well, you know what happened? You know what they did? They found Daniel praying. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 6 and verse 10 that Daniel went up into his room there with his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Why did he open his windows toward Jerusalem? Because God said, that's where I'm going to put my name at. And he opened his windows toward Jerusalem by faith, believing God to keep his promises. He opened his windows. He opened his window by faith and was looking toward Jerusalem. And he's praying. And while he was praying, those men saw Daniel praying. And they went and called King Darius. And they told King Darius, and you know what happened? Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. But thank God, it's not over until God says it's over. He was thrown in there, and I'll tell you what, he slept good that night. Huh? Do you know the one that lost sleep? It was the king himself, couldn't sleep. I believe Daniel slept all right. Why? Because he knew God was in control. And whatever comes in his life, he knew God was in control of it. He was trusting God. I'm just simply saying tonight that here's Daniel. And the next day, the king Darius said, "Hey, Daniel." And Daniel answered the king, "What? Hey, I'm saying that whatever situation you're faced with, it seems like it's out of our control. It's not over until God says it's over." Hallelujah. My, what a blessing that is tonight. And that's exactly what we find here in Mark chapter number 5. Jairus, his daughter. Oh, his daughter at the point of death. And Jesus Christ goes in there. This girl dies, or Jesus says sleeps dead. And here, Jesus walks in there, touches her hand, and raises her up. I tell you, that ought to encourage us tonight. How should it encourage us? Because it's not over until God says it's over. You have people in your family that are lost? Let me encourage you tonight. It's not over until God says it's over. You have a need tonight in your life? It's not over until God says it's over. You need a second chance? You failed God? It's not over until God says it's over. You have a sickness in your body? And I know and I understand this, and I'm not trying to preach a charismatic type message. I know that it's not always God's will to heal. I know that. But I'll tell you, He's able to. He's able to. You might be facing a sickness in your body. Let me say to you tonight that it's not over until God says it's over. Listen, you're in a situation, man, and it just seems out of your control. You don't know which direction to turn, and it just seems out of your control. Listen, good news, it's not over until God says it's over. My, I hope tonight the message has encouraged you. I hope it's encouraged your heart. It certainly has encouraged me as I prepared, as I study for, and I hope it encouraged you as well. I really, really do. It's not over. Remember this. It's not over until God says it's over. Amen. Father, oh, Father, we're so grateful to know that it's not over until, dear God, you say it's over. Father, no doubt there's some here tonight have family members that are lost, and no doubt it's easy to wonder, my, is there any hope? Is there any help? But, dear God, we know it's not over until, God, you say it's over. There may be some tonight, they need a second chance. They failed. Oh, Father, I pray they'll understand that it's not over until God says it's over. Father, whatever the need is, I pray, blessed Lord, that you'll have your way in this invitation. God be glorified. Christ be exalted. Thank you again for this ministry, this work. Thank you for Pastor Ennis. And again, Father, we count it a great honor. My, what a great privilege to be able to preach behind this pulpit tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.